We're in Parshat Bo, and Shadal, we've talked about before, has some interesting views about the halacha in terms of interpreting the Torah and what the rabbis exactly were doing in their interpretation of the Torah might differ from the traditional perspective, maybe what we would call the Orthodox perspective. Usually we understand that Chazal's job, for the most part, in interpreting biblical law, was one of uncovering or passing down the tradition from tradition to tradition, passing it down and maintaining the, maybe we would put it in the Rambam categories of things that actually came from Sinai, interpretations that were given at Sinai, so it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and things that were Meforosh from Sinai, for example, pre-Eitz Hadar. And then you have things that were learned out through the Yogimel Midot HaTor Nidrasha Bahem, and those were all part of what we would call, like in general, the Masorah. And Shadal doesn't generally take that view. He does believe that there is a Masorah, but he understood it as tools in which the rabbis used the Torah to interpret for their times. Even if it's still important for us today to keep, he recognizes, and this is why some people consider him a proto-conservative rabbi, because conservatism didn't really exist then, or the new historicism of that would come a little bit later than him, wasn't really around. But he believed that sometimes, or maybe even many times, Chazal interpreted intentionally away from the pshat of the Torah, or even what we would call the intent of the Torah, for certain reasons. For reasons having to do with society, things having to do with politics, and things like that. Which can get you into dicey territory when people will make an argument of this is not relevant, he might say, indeed, today it is not relevant as it was to the rabbis. However, we're going to see today one example, and we'll probably see more as time goes on, especially in Shemot, of the idea that the Pshat and the Drash are both still relevant, or both have relevancy in different times for different purposes. We get a command. They haven't even left Egypt yet. Makkah Bechorot hasn't even happened yet. In Yud Bet, God says, I'm going to do this huge Makkah Bechorot. There's going to be lots of crying. Right? It's going to be really bad. And then in Yud Bet, God launches into Achodesh Ezelachem. So Rashi understands that as the first command. That's his first comment on the Torah, is that we should have started in Shemot Yud Bet, right here. HaChodesh Ezelachem. And what do we have? We have a command to put aside a sheep for each household so that they will take that sheep eventually and slaughter it and then have it that night with matzot, with the unleavened bread, and mara.
It's interesting that this is the first mention that we have of matzah.
Some have pointed this out, that Egypt is considered like the inventor of risen bread, that they were basically the ones who are known as having created the delicious risen bread. They made challah, and so what we're doing by eating matzah is like going against the Egyptians. We're going against what their invention was and saying it's not so important. Fine. Anyway, it is interesting. I mean, matzah is it does represent a lot of things in Judaism, as I mentioned before. Okay. So we're told, that's what we're told. We're told these commandments about the sheep. So one of the rules about the sheep is that when do you slaughter it? When do you slaughter it? This is in Yud Bet Vav, back in Shemot. Yud Bet Vav, it says, V'hayalachem l'mishmeret, you should keep it, you should guard it, ad abar asar yom l'chodesh hazeh, until the 14th day. Remember that this is the 10th day of the month, This is the 10th day of the month of this first month that shall be for you, which Shaddai, by the way, says is not in contradiction to the fact that Rosh Hashanah, meaning Tishrei, is actually the Rosh Hashanah of the year. How do I know, he says? Because, for example, when it talks about Sukkot, it says Chag HaAsif B'Tzeit HaShanah, and it also talks about how Yovel is on the 10th of the 7th month. You know that that's the beginning of the year. That is true. We just don't count from that time. Because what God is saying by making this the first of the month, first month of the year, HaChodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodeshim, this should be the first month of your year. It's to say, this is going to be so significant to you, says Shaddai, that you're going to start using this as like the beginning, the first of your months. Even though in actuality, in fact, you're not going to use it as the beginning of your year. So that's interesting. Very interesting stuff. But okay, fine. So what is one of the rules when you take it, all right, you're tying it to your doorpost, your bedpost on the 10th, right? It should be a certain type of sheep. It should be a male sheep. It should be 1 year old. Okay, fine. And you could also take it for, as a goat. It could be a goat. And you should keep it for 4 days, or is it 5 days? 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, right? 5 days. So you should keep it for a kind of a long time standing there. So Chazal, you know, understand this as the Egyptians would start noticing that you're taking the sheep, which is considered a symbol of their god, although I think you have the Midrashim understand it as like it was actually their god. They considered them gods, kind of like the Indians understand cows as holy in some way. So I don't know if that's true, but at the very least, it was a symbol of their gods, and we know, like, Ra and whatever. You look at these hieroglyphics, and they have, like, goat heads and things like that. So you know, Chazal understand that as the Egyptians look on and are helpless to see their gods get slaughtered, so to speak. Okay, so what's the detail of this? It says, V'shachatu oto kol kal adat Yisrael, the entirety of the Jewish people shall slaughter it, bein ha'arbayim. Bein ha'arbayim. So what does bein ha'arbayim mean? We translate that as normally, bein ha'arbayim is late afternoon, right? And we should note, and Shaddai will note in a second, that Bein Arabayim is understood as, from Chazal, as the entire afternoon. Meaning, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when would they start slaughtering the Karban Pesach? They would start slaughtering it during the afternoon. The entirety of the afternoon, the Kohanim would just be, you know, slaughtering one after another, because there'd be thousands of these karbanos. So Shaddai talks about both the pshat and the drash. Here we go. Bein ha'arbayim, he says, in safek ki hu bein hashmashot. He says, this is bein hashmashot. This is twilight. Kidas ha'karayim, like the Karaites have it. V'r Rava Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra has it. Ki katuv bein ha'arbayim tochlu basar. As we have later on, it says in Tezayin Yudbet, it says you should have it bein ha'arbayim. What? That is interesting, right? The kasuv vayib be'erev v'tal hashlav. And it also says that at night you're gonna then be able to take certain parts of it. Okay, fine. So the point is v'chein targum unkelus bein shemashaya. If you look at unkelus, he also has it. He translates bein arba'im as bein hashmashot. Guess what? That is against Chazal. That is not what Chazal say in the Mishnah Psachim in the first parak. In the fifth parak of Psachim. The Chazal understand it as the entire afternoon. The Karaites, obviously, are going against the rabbis. But also the Ibn Ezra says it's pshat to understand as twilight. And so does Unkelus. So what about Chazal? So he says, Das Rabbeinu, ki zman hashchita sa pasach mitchila, matchil me'achar chatzi hayom. Yeah, Chazal understand it as being starting in the afternoon. Hu emet. It's still true. Gamkin. Also. It's just as true. Ki bePesach Dorot hayichayavim l'shachto kulam va'arazara. Meaning, Shaddai says, you know what? Interpreting Bein Arabayim as meaning in the afternoon time goes against the pshat, but it's also correct because it's necessary on a practical level. If you can translate it that way, then it has a correct notion to it. Why is it necessary on a practical level? He says, because what? You need to do that. To everyone's slaughtering the Karban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash the entire day. And what you know, you don't just shech the Karban Pesach, you also have to take its blood. He says it was rok damo on the mizbeach. You have to take the blood and you have to put it onto the mizbeach. Well, yeah, efshar lahashlim in yanzev is man bein hashmasha. There's no way, especially in Israel, where bein hashmasha twilight is actually quite short. If it's just like 20 minutes, there's no way you're going to be able to do the entire population that comes to be Oli Rega and comes to do the Karban Pesach. They're not going to be able to do it during twilight. That's why they would start in the afternoon. But since it was possible, everyone was doing their own Karban Pesach, you know, it wasn't Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, it was everybody themselves shechting their Karban, so it was possible to all do it within the 20 minutes of Bein HaShmasha. So hear what he says. He says, Bein HaRabayim here can mean two things. It can mean twilight, because that's what happened in the time of the Exodus. It actually did happen at twilight. But when we're understanding this as a halacha, so it can change to become a drasha for practical purposes. It can change to mean in the afternoon, because you need to be able to sacrifice everybody's Karban Pesach and be able to do it in the proper fashion. So very fascinating. One hint from Shadal about the interplay between pshat and drash in the psukim, and how Chazal can sometimes use reinterpretations of psukim, even if it is against the pshat or the historical pshat, in order to make it practical and make it livable. So very, very fascinating from Shadal. A lot to talk about with this, but not enough time, so maybe we'll go into it next time a little more. Shkoyach.